Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Are Steel Magnolias, two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern. We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair. Cheers to 2019!
You're here! Yeah, I feel like I should have a little horn to blow for the best of occasion. It is officially 2019. That feels crazy to say. I'll probably be writing 2018
for a while,
for several months, and that's okay because that's just part of the year-to-year change.
That's grace to you for that.
Hopefully you had a good Christmas. Hopefully your returns were minimal.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have begun to make your list for thank you notes.
Oh yes.
If you haven't thought about that, thank you notes are important. We talked in a couple episodes ago, I guess it was episode 5?
We're doing a few, so I'm losing count.
5 or 6, where we talked about thank you notes and the right occasions to write those on. So if you need any refreshers, you can go check that out. But it is officially New Year's Day, and we have much to celebrate, much to look forward to. At the end of our show, we're even going to jump into some things to mark your calendar for.
That's right.
That are some, I guess, must-attend events in the South. So, but before we do that, it's time to eat, right?
Always, right? That's an important part of culture.
Let's eat something.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a tradition in the South of eating black-eyed peas and collard greens on New Year's Day.
Yes. So, we're going to,
And I have done that often on New Year's Day, and I am not a fan of the black-eyed pea. So.
I like the band, the black-eyed peas. Oh, they were great.
Me as well. Yeah. But, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. I don't have grandioso, recipes to share. I think they're pretty straightforward anyway.
I think it
as
is
we've
too.
Said before, you cook things with pork in the South. So people will often throw in with their black-eyed peas or their collard greens some hog jaw, which is the cheek of the hog.
Okay.
Throw that in for cooking.
That's like the bone?
No,
like
it's meat.
It's meat.
It's
okay.
Salty meat part,
okay.
But it's people will often throw that in or chunk it up and put it in with the black-eyed peas and collard greens. It gives great flavor to your beans or greens. But in the South, I have seen this served up many different ways and different things like that. But it represents, the idea is that black-eyed peas symbolize good luck and fortune.
Hey, who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want that? And collard greens represent money and wealth.
Even
who
better.
Who doesn't want that?
Exactly.
So, in fact, I've even seen them cooked with a penny in the pot.
Really? Okay.
Supposed to bring more wealth to you. And then I've even seen it that, when it's served, whoever gets that penny gets the extra dose of wealth or whatever.
That's fun.
So,
that's really fun. I like that a lot.
Most Southerners say that this dates back to the Civil War. And I found this interesting as I was looking this up. Black-eyed peas were considered animal food. And so the rumor has it, or the story goes, that General Sherman's Union troops raided the Confederates' food supply and that they took everything except the peas and the salted pork.
Because that was animal food, so they didn't want that.
They left that. And the Confederates considered themselves lucky to be left with those things to survive the winter.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's true, but that's how peas came to be.
Turning a bad situation around, or what could have been perceived as a bad situation.
Instead, it was seen as
being grateful.
That's right. Doesn't that just make things, that grateful heart stuff?
See, now I feel like I should like black-eyed peas, because at least I'm grateful enough to have access to black-eyed peas.
So, and you see that, you know, serve different ways. Coastal places, I've seen Hoppin' John. Have you ever had that?
I've like where heard it's of that.
Cook the black eyed peas with rice and again some of that hog jaw or
okay.
salted pork in there, kind of cooked all together
yeah.
for flavor.
See, rice would be nice because if I wasn't enjoying the flavor, that would kind
At
of
least
help.
You've, and you know, there's a lot it. Of a lot to be said for some of the good rice that's on the coast too.
That's
they
true.
They have a lot of good rice, and so
that's true.
Probably much more flavorful than something just instant. You yeah. know that yeah. somebody might be thinking of rice being pretty bland, but there's some great rices out there.
You bought some rice, didn't
I
you?
I did. I haven't made it yet,
okay.
so I wanted to do something special to okay. to try it.
You
but
bought,
I did
buy
some
special.
That was out of Mississippi or somewhere.
I think so. When you do make that, I want to know how it is.
Yeah.
We'll share that with our
yeah.
listeners.
And I like cowboy caviar. That's where you take the black eyed peas and you mix it with like black beans and tomatoes and onion and corn.
Yeah.
So
kind
I
of
prefer
a salsa esque.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you eat that just by itself or do you eat it with a tortilla chip?
Like a tortilla chip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like cowboy caviar.
That would be a much more enjoyable way for me to eat it.
Yeah.
But, you know, more traditionally for New Year's Day, you would serve it just the black eyed peas with some of that pork in there next to some collard greens and cornbread.
Cornbread. Okay.
So,
yeah.
There you have it. There's your New Year's good luck meal.
Cornbread is tricky because, you know, there's so many shortcuts.
Nah.
I learned this the hard way.
So funny.
With my, I believe I was in fifth grade, we were required to participate in the 4-H club, which 4-H is like an agricultural
yeah.
club, very popular here in Tennessee and probably all throughout the South. But we had a cornbread baking competition, and I don't know if you were required to enter. I know we were required to participate in 4-H in general, but I mean, I didn't know that there were some pretty strict rules,
yes,
and I learned
Lord.
It the hard way. So, you know, imagine all these fifth graders coming in with their pans of cornbread, and they lined them up and gave them each a number, assigned numbers.
And some of these people probably, you know, couldn't wait to make their grandma's recipe. And you may have thought about this just before.
Probably the night before.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not fault a fifth grader for
That's
probably
forgetting.
That's true.
I'm not shaming you. I'm just saying that you assumed
Yes.
that. A particular ingredient was the starting point.
Absolutely. So what I learned the hard way was as I sat in my desk and I watched the 4-H leader that had come special for this day of the cornbread competition go down the line, taking a fork, sampling each one, making her notes, just like any other good food competition. Mm-hmm. She was taking it very seriously. Mm-hmm. This may be the thing she looks forward to most mm-hmm. in the year. I don't know.
She was probably checking, like, is it crusty on the outside?
Oh, yeah.
Does it have a wonderful consistency?
Yeah. Is it kind of hard on the outside and moist in the inside? Mm-hmm. And, you know, all things that, in hindsight, I now know are just the attributes you look for in cornbread. But as she came to number 7, I believe that was my number, scarred in my memory, she quickly furrowed her brow and looked across the classroom and wanted to know who had brought number 7. And so I very proudly popped my hand up because I thought the competition is over. We have
she
a winner.
She has found the winner.
That's not the case, actually, though. The case was that she wanted to know who had brought number 7. Bingo, it's me. You are automatically disqualified. You were not allowed to use Jiffy cornbread mix in this competition. To which I slowly sunk into my seat and was disqualified. So cornbread cannot be made in competitions with Jiffy.
No.
You might be able to sneak it in your own home.
Absolutely.
It's great mix, but it does not
she knows.
Measure up against
That's
only
right.
cornbread.
That's right.
So luckily my husband still loves Jiffy and loves cornbread, whether it's Jiffy made or not. So I win in my own home, but I didn't win that for each competition.
I like
didn't
to have Jiffy on hand just to quickly make corn pudding as well. Which
That's good. Yeah. Oh, corn pudding's so
good. So good.
So
anyway.
Good. Okay.
We digress.
Yes. So would you typically imagine the New Year's Day meal being served for lunch or dinner? Or does it matter?
Oh, I think you could do either.
Okay.
I think you could do either. Yeah.
So, well, I will be in Indiana this New Year's Day. So I don't know if I could talk them into trying some black-eyed peas and collard greens or not. But certainly sounds like a good tradition.
Yeah.
To bring in prosperity through the year. Well, hey, now that the New Year's upon us, people are looking to what they can look forward to.
That's right. And, you know, you get that new calendar. I know we don't get paper calendars as much as we used to. I loved when I was in college, our bookstore at Western Kentucky had the abacus, was what it was called.
Okay.
And you always bought your new abacus. It was red and it already had in it the college events that you needed to know.
Brilliant.
And then you added
your birthdays
stuff
and your own personal events. Yeah.
So I still laugh thinking about how excited I got to get my abacus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because everything's digital now. I mean, I mentioned that on a previous episode that I do print a wall calendar typically through like a photo company, but
I pretty much
everything's on my phone
now. And I'm one that's, you know, often called old fashioned because
sure.
I'm so old school, but I love this digital calendar. But you know, in January, no kidding, we set aside time to think about vacation and mm-hmm. all of those things. Like you have to plan,
you don't
just get to spring on doing that and saving up for that. And so that's one reason we wanted to go ahead and jump and look at the whole calendar.
Absolutely.
In case some of these resonate with you and you want to go, huh? Maybe I'll take 2 days off to do that.
Yeah, because some of these events require ticketing.
Yeah.
And some of it's going to sell out.
And travel.
Travel, days off of work. If it's a
right.
weekend event, you still may want to make a 3-day weekend out of it or a 4-day weekend. So, yeah, so this is not the end all be all exhaustive list of things to look forward to in the South. But these are some highlights.
Yeah.
And we did do it month by month. So if you even know that spring is a good time for you to take time off work, if that's a dip in your schedule, or if you're looking for spring break plans, or if you know, hey, summer only, is the only time that our family can do anything, then it's good to go ahead and
start laying out your plans. And
yeah,
Larbeth and I have not compared lists.
We haven't
gathered our own list. In fact, we do that a lot on this podcast. We want it to be authentic and fresh. And so we don't talk a lot about what we're going to talk about other than what our subjects are. And the first one I'm going to mention is January. So
it
may be
January.
Too late to
That's true.
Plan
well,
this.
We'll
but
see.
It falls on the same day of the next year. So you can do it next time. But you ready to jump in?
Yeah, you go.
Well, one of our Tennessee legends has a birthday in January, and that's Elvis Presley.
Yes, the king.
The king, January the 8th, would have been his 84th birthday.
Oh, wow.
So, Graceland does a number of events from January 5th to January 8th this year.
Memphis, Tennessee.
And I looked it up, and even many of them are already sold out.
Wow. It's upon us.
Some of it you're not going to be able to do.
Yeah.
But you could go to Graceland and have cake, for sure, on his birthday wanted to do that.
That's cool.
And total side note, but funny thing is,
I know what you're going to say. Because, this was so random.
It is, but I looked up the story, too, because it's kind of funny.
Good. Okay.
We went, just happened to be on January the 8th a few years ago, to have a meal at a local chain restaurant here in Nashville called Chewy's.
Chewy's. C-H-U-Y. Chewy's.
Tex-Mex restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And it was a celebration of Elvis's birthday, which I had no idea why Chewy's had a connect.
What's their connect? Yeah.
To
yeah.
Elvis,
yeah.
Since it's out of Texas.
Right.
But here's the story. So the first location had opened there in Texas, and they were low on money for decorations, and it's time to open.
Oh.
They go to some place and land a few Velvet Elvis.
Oh, my. Okay.
Things to hang on the wall.
Yeah.
And literally, that's how their connection
their
with
thing.
Elvis was born. So they, all of their restaurants,
wow.
is my understanding, on January the 8th, if you dress as Elvis or Priscilla Presley, you get a free entree. And you might want to check with your local
That's
Chewy's
awesome.
Before you do this, because I'm just telling you, I read this online, but... and they always have, as we experience, a huge birthday cake and Twinkies in honor of Elvis's birthday.
Because he loved Twinkies.
Because he loved Twinkies.
That was so. That and peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Fried. So, there you go. If you want to celebrate Elvis's birthday, and he is known and admired worldwide. So, it's not unusual for you to run into people from all over the world when you're at Graceland. So... Wow. Anyway, there you have it.
It's a fun tour. And it's not even just the home you can tour. Like, he's got his airplane.
Cars.
It's all, I believe, additional tickets to
It's been a while since
tours.
I did it, so.
And, of course, if you are going to Memphis, you got to stay at the Peabody Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Where there is all sorts of history. And
it's beautiful, too.
Just beauty.
Location.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
There's
so
my January thing.
That's Elvis's birthday in January in Memphis.
And you're going to notice as we go through this list that there is a heavier amount, I would say, in the spring and fall, particularly spring.
Yeah.
Because it gets stinking hot down here, y'all. So, yeah. We don't have a ton to do in August.
Well, and we're a little fair weather.
Yes.
In the winter. If it's going to snow or ice, you certainly don't want an event planned because, your town is going
to
shut down because we're not used to that.
That's right. We don't have salt trucks like y'all do in the north.
Exactly. So, yeah, you're right. That's a good observation.
I just was noticing, like, we're way heavy on March to May and then again pick up again in October because those are our beautiful months. But anyhow.
Okay. So another one in January, if you're looking to go way south or further south than
which a lot of people like to do in January.
Exactly. The 30A Songwriters Festival happens in Seaside,
Florida. I have heard
about
this.
So 30A is the highway that runs a lot of the Panhandle area, South Walton area, Destin.
Seaside, Rosemary Beach.
It's just all sorts of... There's a lot of people in... especially our area of Tennessee, that vacation
in Rosemary.
Down in the 30A area. But the Songwriters Festival, I'll give the dates for that just because it's coming up. It's the 18th through the 21st. But they've got Jason Isbell, Brandi Carlile, Roseanne Cash, Lucinda Williams. There's going to be and more. But I think it would be fun just,
That sounds cool. And I think the various BMI, ASCAP, like they have their own little side things going and different things like that as well. So.
Yeah. And this is the 10th annual. So
they've
been going much longer than I had thought. But that's definitely something in January. And then in February, anyone can look forward to Mardi Gras.
Yes.
In New Orleans. So there's a ton of stuff. I've never been to Mardi Gras. I've been in New Orleans several times, but I haven't been for Mardi Gras.
Fat Tuesday's March 5th.
Okay.
I did look that up.
Okay.
So that's the biggest day.
Yes. That's where you gorge yourself before Ash Wednesday.
Exactly.
Where you're probably giving up something. Ash Wednesday and... Is it all the way through Easter?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a long span of time, around 40 days-ish, probably. I don't know. You gorge yourself on Fat Tuesday so that when you're...
Whatever you're laying down.
Yeah.
Which is kind of messed up. But anyway.
Why do we do that?
I have a good friend of mine, Amy, who grew up in Louisiana. And she said school's out for a week. Like, it's a big deal. Like, there's events every day. This is not like a just one day thing. Like,
yeah.
There's parades, and festivities for at least a week.
Wow.
So, yeah. Sometime we need to do a whole, maybe even in February, March.
Let's do a Mardi Gras
New Orleans
special.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. I think, that was the only other, that's a major event. So I didn't put anything else down.
I have one that I just would dream of going to because, I'm sorry, this sounds like glory all over it. And that is March 6th through 10th, the Charleston Food and Wine Festival.
When is that? February or March?
March 6th to 10th.
Oh, it's March. Yeah, I did. I was just saying I didn't have anything else in February.
Oh, sorry.
Fine. I would love to go to that.
Dying to go to this event.
I would love to do that. I don't know how expensive it is. I don't know if it's, did you say it's multiple days?
I have March 6th through 10.
Oh, it is. Down, okay.
And I can't do those dates, but yeah, maybe next year I'll like make that a trip.
Yeah.
That I'm plan on going. If you want to make that a trip. And really try to get some of that experience in, because Charleston has some of the best food of the South.
Major chefs come out of a lot of the Charleston restaurants, or South Carolina, I guess I should say. Rodney Scott, Sean Brock. I mean,
yeah, and it's got that influence of the coast, which has a lot of good seafood, a lot of good French influence, and even African influence. And so, yeah, that would be a fun trip.
So also in March is the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas. Multiple days of music. They've even got a lot of film.
Film, that's right. Lots goes on around that. A film
festival that's now been incorporated into that. So yeah, lots of up-and-comers, but a lot of like well-established acts. I don't have the exact dates on that, but it's multiple
dates. March 8th through 18. So
it's
long.
Yes, it is. So that's two weekends.
I would like to make that a priority at some point too. I don't know how I could do both in the same year, but
March is actually, you mentioned spring and fall being heavy for us. And then also over in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
What's going on there?
Look forward to the Shag Dance Competition.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. So we mentioned Shag as a must-see Southern movie. So if you've gotten to see that and have a taste of what the Shag dance is like, they're actually in a competition in that movie.
To say.
I mean, what fun that would be to go witness that. And
that's
also
adorable.
Depending on the weather, it could be a nice time of year to go over to Myrtle Beach. A lot of spring break, you know, travelers from the South go to the beach in hopes that they can potentially get some sun. So
I have a client who grew up in the Carolinas, and he told me that he taught his daughters to shag when they were little.
Really?
Like, 'cause he was good at it, so he taught them. And they ended up going to school. I believe both of them went in North Carolina and were really good shaggers. So how fun to...
Perfect. They've,
you know,
like been raised
have
for
skill
such...
that, that yeah, your yeah. dad taught you. I thought that was so sweet.
That's cool. I love that.
Yes. I jotted down St. Patrick's Day in Savannah. I've just heard of this.
I have a friend that's done that.
They dye the river green there in Savannah, and
yeah.
I just jotted that down. That would be a fun place to be.
That'd be a fun
St. Patrick's
Day. If you're already wanting to go to Savannah, which I do,
to tie it in
to
and
do
that
it
way
on
would be really
St.
fun.
St. Patrick's Day is a great idea.
Yeah.
How fun. Well, in April, we have a couple of things to look forward to. The Keeneland Spring Meet in Lexington, Kentucky. So we're going to do a special on Keeneland before that happens to share about our experience. We went in the fall.
Yes, they do a fall and spring meet, and it's really a sweet experience.
That's in Lexington.
So. I have one more April before you get out of April.
I do too. Hold on. Jazz Fest in New Orleans.
Yes, I had that one down. Jazz and Heritage Festival, April the 26th through May 5th.
Okay. In New Orleans.
Is the 2019 date.
Okay, cool.
Yep. And then one other I jotted down, if you're a golfer, you probably already know this, but the Masters in Augusta is from April 11 to 14.
You probably should have started saving for those tickets last
January
1st. But
worked all your connections to get there, but that's the dates if you are interested.
Okay, and then in May, we've got, again, sticking on the horse theme, the pomp and circumstance that is around the Kentucky Derby.
That's right.
That'd be in Louisville.
Yes, May the 4th this year. We may have to do a whole episode on that, too.
On the Derby.
Just being a fan of that Derby. And I'm so desiring to go. One of my friends is really wanting us to get tickets to do it, and she sent me an email about doing it, and the tickets for the Oaks, which is Friday night, the Derby, which was Saturday night. I mean, we're talking, I want to say it was 700 something.
I was going to say 1,000. Yeah.
So, and that's not hotel and all that. So it's a pricey of affair, but, and I'm not talking about the infield. You can do the infield kind of stuff cheaper, but
okay.
That's not really the experience I wanted. I wanted to be dressed up. So
people probably dress up in the infield, but not to the degree.
Not to the degree.
Of in the grandstand.
A lot more. Yeah. So that's not as... as fun of an experience as what I was hoping for. But yeah, May the 4th will be Derby, and you can have fun with Derby, even just doing a little Derby party in your home.
Which you've done before.
I love to cook some traditional foods and have bourbon. Yeah.
And it's more fun to pretend to bet rather than to go and
lose
real money.
That's true.
So that's a fun thing to look forward to in May. As well, in May, on Memorial Day weekend, there is the Spoleto Festival in Charleston, which is an arts festival. It actually, I'm saying Memorial Day weekend, but it leads up to Memorial Day weekend. I think it's a good 7 or 8 days of a festival.
Okay.
But most of the events culminate on Memorial Day weekend. It's all sorts of artists, musicians, just great fun. And then also that same weekend is the Gulla Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So
I bet that would be cool.
That happens very close to Charleston in, I think you pronounce it Beaufort?
Probably Beaufort. Yeah.
Beaufort, South Carolina. So it's a celebration of low country African American culture.
Yeah. Gullah Geechee is the people group that came from, I believe, West Africa.
Yes.
That have resided there and have brought some of the most beautiful food culture.
Yeah.
They're also known for these, the baskets that they weave, and
yeah, if you've ever been to the market in downtown Charleston, you definitely have seen women there weaving these baskets that are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just very detailed, very time consuming, very expensive.
Like, Sweetwater grass or something.
Yes.
Baskets.
Yeah.
So that would be a fun festival.
Yeah. So May, you could, I mean, if you went Memorial Day weekend in Charleston, you could hit both of those. You could hit Spoleto.
That would be super fun.
Spoleto and the Gulla Festival.
And one more May I have a little closer to our home is Memphis is known for many activities in May.
Oh, yeah.
But they have the Beale Street Music Festival from May 3rd to 5th, and then the Barbecue Festival May 15th to 18th.
Cool.
So
that's cool.
That would be a good fun time to hit Memphis is around some of their activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the summer months, a lot of music festivals pop up and are happening. So in June, we have the CMA Music Fest here in Nashville, which used to be called Fanfare, used to be out at the fairgrounds.
That's right. It
used to be a lot smaller scale, but still has always been a very big event, big deal here in Nashville for the place for country music fans to get to connect with the artists that they love.
Pretty special.
For autographs, pictures.
They are so willing.
Yes. The country music community is very
embracing of their fans,
giving back of their time,
even resources.
CMA Fest happens all over the downtown Nashville area. They have nightly the larger concerts happen at our Nissan Stadium here in Nashville. So,
but there's music happening all over town.
Everywhere, yes.
And that's June 6 to 9 this year.
Okay.
I'll look at the dates just
so it's
specifics.
Hot. It's usually a pretty warm event. That same weekend usually is Bonnaroo Music Festival in Manchester.
They're moving it, I think.
Are they?
Okay. Like trying to intentionally, because it's been so bad with traffic and different things. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
This year, Bonnaroo is June 13 to 16.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, because there are a lot of fans, that love both types of music. And honestly, Bonnaroo likes to draw in multiple different genres. So that
was... In fact, I've been impressed with that.
That was smart.
Lineup, how they pull from different genres.
I don't know if they've announced a lineup yet.
And that's a pretty pricey ticket,
No, they have not.
Start saving now if you think
that's
you might want to go to Bonnaroo.
Very true.
All right.
What else you got?
I'm jumping to July next.
Okay. I've got some July as well. Go ahead.
So this is not a... I don't know... it's certainly not in comparison to Bonnaroo or CMA Fest. But I just have to mention this because it is quite a special little festival in Tennessee. July the 5th through 9th is the Smithville Fiddlers Jamboree.
So glad you mentioned this. I forgot about it.
If you like bluegrass music, this is one of the biggest bluegrass festivals in the South. Great vendors, great music. And I love that there's different age group competitions in this festival. So you'll see, for instance, maybe a banjo contest and it's age 8 to 12. And you see this amazing, you know, 9-year-old picker. Same for dancing. They'll have Appalachian Flatfoot Dance Contest, and it's divided up by age.
That's cool.
So if you like Appalachian culture, bluegrass music, it's a great festival. And Smithville is
an hour and a half
from Nashville.
East of Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyhow, it's always around the 4th of July, and it's a sweet little... It's not even tiny. I mean, it's a good size festival.
It's grown a lot. Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I completely forgot about it. Also in July is a music festival that I've just heard more and more good things about. The Forecastle Music Festival in Louisville. So it's right on the river. So it's, you know, outdoor music festival. But their lineup has not yet been announced. But it's... supposedly just really cool.
A good one.
Cool lineup, and Louisville's fun.
So yeah, it is neat.
And the scenery of being on the river. I think it all just makes for a great event. Also in July is an event you went to.
Yes, I wanted to mention that.
Tell us about that.
The Highland Games.
I knew you were going to say
Grandfather
that.
Mountain,
yes.
North Carolina. We have some Scottish heritage, and this is a Scottish festival. The Highland Games go on in the Highlands of Scotland. And so this is one of the two largest, I've got both down, Highland Games in America. And I believe the one we just went to, oh gosh, I didn't write down. We're talking, this has been going close to 70-ish years.
Wow.
So it's quite a large festival. Grandfather Mountain is near Blowing Rock in Boone, North Carolina, and it is a spectacular location for this festival. You're going to see, in the Highland Games, you're going to see a lot of bluegrass music, a lot of bagpipe music, the various games of clans competing against one another, tree trunk throwing, all different kinds of, you know, physical games.
Manly games.
And women even compete in some of these. But yes, a lot of, you're going to see kilts galore. And so if you have any Scottish heritage or appreciation for that kind of thing, really fun festival. I will say there's a lot of people that camp with, you know, literally camping on the mountain.
Okay.
If you're not camping on the mountain, it's a bit of a, how do I say it? It's a bit of a haul getting in there because you're not able to drive in. They'll let the vendors drive in.
Okay.
But,
so is it shuttle?
It's shuttles from, I believe, three locations. It's pretty well organized, but it does take some time. Like, I believe one of the days we were on the shuttle, not even going very far, but it took us over an hour to get there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just because of the traffic. So, maybe not the best festival for somebody who isn't super physically mobile.
Sure.
Just because there's a lot to getting up the hills and stuff like that. But once you're there, wow. Special, very, very cool.
And what's the food like there? Like,
I'm so glad you mentioned this because I didn't realize there would not be alcohol for sale at this festival and was kind of hoping to partake a little bit.
Okay.
You can bring it in. I thought that was so unusual. You can bring it in, but they don't serve it there.
Okay.
So keep that in mind if that's important to you. But the food they have varies from some of it Scottish. You could find the Scottish eggs, the fish and chips, some different things that you might see served in Scotland.
Okay.
And then just some festival food as well. But pretty long lines for food just because of the
crowds. Can you bring in your own food?
Good question. I am not sure.
Okay.
You have to check on that. Anyway, so that is July 11 to 14 year.
That's cool. Anything else in July that you know of?
Nope. In fact, I am jumping down to October now.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll just quickly mention in August, we already mentioned one instance where you can go celebrate Elvis in January. But there's also Elvis Week in Memphis in August. So actually, there's lots of chances to celebrate Elvis in the South. Like, we have, it's in the spring sometime, like an Elvis movie festival here in Nashville.
Okay, I didn't even know that. That's hilarious.
He's a big deal.
He's a big deal.
Here. And we do want to celebrate him well. So, and then in September, the only thing I was going to mention, because it is growing, is the Pilgrimage Music Festival.
Yeah.
Here in, not just in Nashville, here in Franklin, where we live, just down the road, at a beautiful park, Harlansdale Farm. That's a horse farm. They have major acts that they bring in. Lionel Richie and Counting Crows last year. We've seen
Justin Timberlake and Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. So, you know, big lineup. It's a Saturday-Sunday event. It is a pricey ticket because it's supposed to be like a cultural experience more than just a music festival. So they try and intentionally bring in great food vendors, artists from the area, just try and really display the culture of the South. Mike Wolf, that does the American Pickers show, he does some of the lineup down out there. Like, he kind of talks about antiquing and shows off some different pieces.
Yeah,
they just try and do like a full experience. So that's usually in September. And then what you got for October?
A couple of things. One, I have not been to this, but there is a National Shrimp Festival in Gulf Shores.
Yum.
And I know. So fresh seafood, fresh shrimp. Just wanted to mention that October 10 to 13.
And all of our good shrimp that we have in this area is coming up from the Gulf.
Yeah.
So that would be wonderful. So fresh.
Yeah. So that's going on. And then I know my Scottish heritage, I just can't help mentioning one more Highland Games, similar to what I was mentioning before, in Stone Mountain, Georgia, October the 18th to 20th. I believe the two I've mentioned are the two biggest in the country. So that's another one that's old, and a lot of clans come.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
If you want to try hearing and learning more about Scottish culture, maybe hit one of those.
Yeah. You'll have to mention a few more things about your experience there because, well, do it now. Mention what you learned about, when you were in Scotland about hillbilly.
Okay.
Could you talk just a second about
that? Yes. So there's a lot of Scottish and Irish immigrants that came to America and ended up in the Appalachia area.
Okay.
So, and one reason that I now see is it's so similar to Scotland in landscape and that kind of thing.
Wow.
So wouldn't you naturally, as an immigrant, want to be like where you can grow the same crops and make the same, you know,
familiarity at best you can? Yes.
So there is a lot of overlap there. I had an opportunity to make a trip in 2017 to Scotland, and it was one of my favorite trips I've ever taken. And part of it was because I felt so at home with a lot of the culture and a lot of the language and that kind of thing. So, there was words I was hearing a lot that were very familiar to me that I had heard as hillbilly talk.
Yeah.
I reckon different phrases like that I had heard.
They'd be in a Southern dictionary today.
Yes. Yeah. And I was hearing these phrases by educated people in Scotland. And I said to one of the people on my tour, I'm hearing all these phrases that I've always heard as hillbilly talk. And he said, do you know where the word hillbilly comes from? And I said, no. And he said, that was a Protestant that came from the hills in Scotland. Apparently that one point in time, now I'm not the history expert here, but there was some king that was named William that was very sympathetic to the Protestants and the Protestant Catholic disputes. And so if you were from the hills and were Protestant, they called you a hillbilly.
Wow.
And so some of this language that Appalachian people use, which they got from their Scottish and Irish ancestors, is not necessarily uneducated.
Right.
It's actually just
a Protestant from the hills.
Yeah. So Anyhow, so, I could go on and on about a lot of the things, and we may go into more in the future, but even the bluegrass music of Appalachia come from the Celtic roots of Ireland and Scotland.
So cool.
A lot of the same instruments, a lot of the same sounds. So
wow.
There you go. That's one reason you see a lot of that culture in Appalachia and North Carolina and East Tennessee.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that influence of Ireland and Scotland.
Hey, so. I'll claim to be a hillbilly.
That's right.
Also in October is the Keeneland fall meet in Lexington, Kentucky. So an all-day horse race, or I'm saying all day, it usually starts around 1 o'clock. But they have it every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in October only. Well, I'm saying October. April and October.
Yeah.
So it's a special event. You're getting close access to seeing the horses before they race. You're getting to see them with their jockey. You're getting to learn about betting on horses. You're getting
and
good
it's a
food.
Wouldn't you say low pressure environment? Yes. It's not like you're stepping into something
great entry point
yeah.
if you're interested in attending a horse race. Very achievable, like a baby step to the Derby.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will talk about that later, full Keeneland special, because we had a fantastic experience for that.
The only other thing I had, do you have anything else?
Mm-mm.
I didn't even know where to start because I am not a NASCAR person.
Sure.
But that is a big piece of Southern culture that I'm not very educated on. So I'm just going to mention that there are many cities in the South.
Yes.
Talladega in Alabama, Bristol in Tennessee, Charlotte in North Carolina, Daytona. I think Richmond may even
have. Okay, I didn't know Richmond was.
So there's speedways, and there's events literally from February to November at these various.
Okay.
May even be more. But I don't. So you get your calendar and look up
The
speedways, what all's going on. I don't know really what to mention is the big ones that are the best, but I know from a Tennessean's perspective, Bristol and Talladega are both pretty important.
Yeah. I would say for November and December, I'm going to kind of group those together because I don't have necessarily a specific event to highlight, but more of just places if you're wanting to experience Christmas. I would say we've recommended this before, Christmas at the Biltmore Estate in North Carolina.
Hard to beat.
Really hard to beat. So anytime in November and December that you could make your way over to North Carolina to experience that home, that property.
Ooh,
it's just
that
very
city,
worth it.
Even Asheville.
Yeah, Asheville as well. And then the other two that we mentioned on a previous episode, Christmas in Dahlonega, Georgia, and Natchez, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Both of those places just really do Christmas well as far as just making the whole community Christmassy. So those would have good parades, tour of homes, just all sorts of things that you could do to get you in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. Wow, that's a good start. No,
man,
I think
that's a list.
That's a lot of vacationing if you can hit several of those.
Yeah, if you could hit one or two of those, I'd say you get a good year of southernness in your calendar. So we do hope that your new year gets off to a wonderful start. Thank you for listening to the Steel Magnolias podcast. Please help us spread the word. We do hope to get this far and wide to our Southern friends and then those that are Southern curious, if you will. So subscribe, share us on Instagram, tell your friends, and we will see you back here next week in full swing.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.